Hi, ladies. We'll start in prayer, okay? And God, I just want to thank you for getting us all here, Lord. Thank you for Bible study and fellowship, Lord, and just this opportunity to share, God, what you gave me. I pray you would just use it, Lord, for each one of us where we need it, and just bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to dive right in. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, we are learning that this church body was a new body of believers whom Paul loved and desired to see. And now we're in chapter 3, and here we get a little more insight into Paul's care and concern for them. In verses 1 through 3, right out of the gates, he says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this." Paul was upfront with these believers. He did not bring them the feel-good gospel. He was honest about what was coming, and he let them know that trials and tribulation would be part of the package. He sent Timothy to establish and encourage them so that they would not be too shaken by the trials that were hitting. But don't miss that while Paul sent Timothy to establish and encourage them, he also sent Timothy for another reason. And so I want to take us back to 1 Thessalonians 2:7 for that, where he likened his love and care for them as a nursing mother who cherishes her own children. Well, for those of us who are parents, we know that the spiritual condition of our children has the potential to greatly affect us. Paul wanted to find out if the tempter had tempted them to see if their labor had been in vain. This verse really hit home with me because when we've invested in the spiritual well-being of another, it really does vex us when hard times hit, because we know that trials in a person's life are where genuine faith or the lack of it is going to be revealed. So it also can be a powerful witness, though, too, because that's where we get to see the power of God working in the life of believers through trials. And this can and does renew our faith in the Lord, and it really does humble us when you realize who's holding on to who. In verse 4, Paul tells them, "We told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it has happened." Although this message does not ideally appeal to our flesh, when difficulties hit, knowing this truth will help a believer to endure. For we know that although we might be in the fire, Jesus is with us in it, and we're not forsaken. In Daniel 3:23 through 25, we learn about three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're told that these men fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." There was an expectation that when these men were thrown into this fire, it was going to devour them. For some reason, when the heat gets turned up, there is an expectation that a person will not be able to handle it, and that the trial will overtake them. And I think here Paul really was wondering if these believers could handle what's being thrown at them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we get a window into Paul's heart for these believers and the sense that he himself was struggling to know their spiritual condition. Even though Paul had all the faith in the world and was solid, he still had concern over those he loved. I'm very thankful for this because it reminds me I too am human just like Paul. Have you ever had a loved one that might have things going on in their life that's caused you to have great concern for them and their spiritual condition? We're going to go back to verse 1 where Paul says, when we could no longer endure it. Just like Paul, there's been times in my life that I too felt I could no longer endure it. It's brought me back to the first year my daughter Jamie, who's my youngest child, went away to college. You would think by your last kid, you're laid back. I've heard you get more and more laid back. Not me. I was like, more work to happen. So she went away to a two-year school, which is a little over an hour away. And she moved into a house with five girls. They all played on the softball team at the school together. And I will say, all these girls know me pretty well. By the end of the year, they did. And my car was going that way more than I can count. I was beyond concerned for the spiritual condition of my daughter. And unfortunately, I wasn't getting a Timothy bringing back a good report. And, you know, I can identify with Paul when he says, you know, you want to know if your labor's been in vain. This is how it can feel when you see a person you've spiritually invested in struggling in their walk. One of her roommate's moms was very informed by her daughter of all the ins and outs going on in the house. And she'd call and text me pretty regularly to let me know what was going wrong. And I'm not a passive listener. So Jamie and I had quite a few run-ins. And her roommates were there for all of it. That's why I say they know me well. We're good, but they've been there. Toward the end of her first year, I took a few of the girls out for pizza, and I found myself apologizing to one of the girls. Was a super sweet little girl, and she always seemed to just be observing and watching. And I always thought, Marissa probably thinks I'm off my rocker. So I pulled her aside. I said, Marissa, I'm sorry. You know, I've been worried about you girls. I worry about Jamie. And she said, it's okay. My parents check on me a lot. They worry about me too. You're okay. But there were just things that I knew, as most moms do know more than we let on. And it was hard because what I envisioned this first year being versus what it was shaping up to be was just very different. And if you know me, you know I do that. I thought Rob and Diane moved there, Pastor Rob from here. She's going to get involved in young adults, you know. I had this idea. None of that was happening. So this isn't about Jamie. This really isn't. But anyway, let me go on. I remember early in the year, after one of the games, two of the moms whose daughters were Christians and they were doing well came to me, and one of them asked me, how's Jamie doing? And deep down, I thought, maybe she knows something and is just asking me, you know. And I guess I could have just said, oh, good, you know, but my heart was broke. And I felt myself tear up, and I just said, you know, things aren't optimal, but I'm assuming she's going to find her way. And you know, I'm believing she'll get her legs under her. And one thing I learned is when we speak faith, we're going to get tested on it. Not long after this conversation, Jeff and I had received a phone call from her coaches about some things that came up that needed addressing. Jeff spoke with her. I was beyond angry, and actually I was furious. And so I waited to reach out. And the thing is, you know, I knew how to lower the hammer. I was pretty good at that. And for some reason, addressing issues brought me comfort. I think so I felt I wasn't a head in the sand mentality. But what I didn't know how to do was extend love in my mind when it wasn't deserved. And I remember she texted me that she was out of class and in her car if I wanted to call. And she and Jamie's smart. She knew me too well, and she thought it was best nobody was around. So I did want to tear into her, and I had all these sticking points, you know, the sacrifices her parents are making, you know, the opportunity she gets that most kids didn't get, her witness, she's blown her witness. It's going to affect you for life. You name it, I had all these things. And so Jeff and I prayed before I called her. We talked, and still this day, I remember what came out the minute we got on the phone. And it was grace, and it was love. And I knew that came from the Lord. Before I called her, I really thought back to being 18, and all of a sudden, I started to see my own failings. And man, Jamie was in a great place compared to me. I mean, truthfully. I just remembered how confused I was during that time in life, and it humbled me to the point of tears, and it gave me grace and compassion, which clearly had been lacking in my parenting. I didn't really say much, which is rare for me when we got on the phone, but I just remember telling her, I'm sure she's confused, and that I loved her, and if she needed to talk, I'm here. And the walls just came right down instantly. I think all we both did on the phone is cry. And the rest is really Jamie's testimony. But I will say what I said to those parents that day after that game, it is coming to pass. She is finding her way, and the Lord is in her heart, and I am sure of that. And, you know, her walk's like mine. It has peaks and valleys, lots of twists and turns, and so that's that. But I wanted to share some key verses in God's word that have been given to me by my apostle Paul's and Timothy's to encourage me when I've been in troubled waters. These verses have ministered to me so much over the years when at times things just seem to be too much to handle. The Lord's faithful to always bring them to my memory. And Psalm 55:22 is the first one, and it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Both of these verses tell us to cast. The word for cast in Psalm 55:22 is a Hebrew word, and I listened to it on the Blue Letter Bible to try and pronounce it for you guys. It was shalach, and it means to throw down or away, to hurl. The word cast in 1 Peter 5:7 is a Greek word epiripto, and it means to throw upon or cast upon. So a friend of mine gave me a visual to help me understand what it means to cast your care upon the Lord. And she said, kind of picture those things you're carrying as a heavy ball. I know they make those weighted balls, so I kind of think of those, but I always thought of it as something on my shoulder or my back, which a ball really doesn't fit there, but that's how I see it. But what's unique about a ball is it has the ability to roll pretty easily if it's acted upon. So when we cast our care or our burden, which is that heavy ball, over to the Lord, we're literally just rolling that ball. Just roll our cares over to him. And what joy it must have brought to Paul when Timothy returned with a good report. In verses 6 and 7, we hear of the comfort Paul received from Timothy, where it says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." You see, whether or not we want to admit it, we're all tied together. We're the body of Christ. We have the ability to greatly encourage one another by continuing on in the faith and in love. And we can hear this in Paul's words of thankfulness. They were comforted concerning them in their faith. I'm not sure if you're in a situation like Paul where you are concerned over the spiritual well-being of your loved ones. Seems to be a common thread amongst most, if not all of us at any given time. I'm definitely not out of this place, but I have found comfort coming back to the fact that maybe I can be a comfort to those that have an invested interest in me just by continuing to walk in the faith. And you see, we may have loved ones that we're concerned for, but we also might be the loved ones someone else is deeply concerned for too. So I'm thankful that Paul was brought back a good report by Timothy and was comforted. But we also know from other letters that Paul has written that this wasn't always the case. Paul spent a great deal of his ministry correcting bad doctrine and exposing those who did not have the believer's best interest at heart. No doubt many times Paul in his life was not comforted by the reports that he had brought back. And I was thinking, how did Paul endure those times? And we know it's through prayer. When we're in a situation where we cannot be present, we have the best option, even better than our presence, prayer. In verse 10, Paul says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Distance really does force us to turn to the Lord in prayer in a greater way. This all makes me think how hard it must have been for Paul. I spoke about my daughter. I remember after her 2 years at Feather River, she went on to Colorado Christian University in Denver, Colorado, and I couldn't go visit like I used to, and there was no roommate giving me back reports, or the mom. So I really did learn to pray for my daughter in different ways. But I thought, I have a phone to make phone calls and text on, and there is social media, which tells you sometimes more than you want to know, but Paul's only way to confirm the condition of his loved ones was either by sending and receiving letters, and those had a delay due to delivery limitations, or by sending someone to visit or visiting them himself. So during the times when Paul really was concerned for them, he didn't have contact or was able to visit. He did what he could do, and he did pray for them. And the amazing thing about prayer is that we not only get to see God work in their heart, but it does an amazing work in ours. When we pray and give our loved ones and our concerns to God, the peace truly does come. This peace is found in relinquishing all our fears and doubts to the one, and I put all capitals, the one who knows us and our loved ones. And this is where we get to put feet on our faith. Isaiah 26, verse 3 tells us, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And this weekend, I was listening to CSN, and this verse came up, which was cool because I knew I had it. But he said, that word perfect peace in the Hebrew, there's not the word perfect when you look it up. It's shalom, shalom. It's peace, peace. And he said, whenever you see it twice, it's doubled. It's perfect peace. So I thought that was interesting. But one of the most difficult tests of our faith is going to be in trusting those we love to the Lord. We see in this chapter just how connected Paul was to these believers. It's encouraging to know that this is the love the Lord is growing in us through our fellowship even here now with one another. This chapter ends with Paul's prayer for them in verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul knew that if we increase and abound in love to one another and to all, our hearts would be established blameless before God. That's cool. That is crazy. I'm like, Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. So as we continue in fellowship with one another through Bible study or home fellowship or it's koinonias or women's ministry or, you know, whatever, however you connect with people, I pray our love for one another would grow and that we can just encourage one another to keep keeping on for Jesus. And in John 13:35, I always love this verse because this really does mark us as his disciples. It says, by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for love, God, and the love that you can pour out in our hearts, Lord. We don't have it, Lord, but we can look up and you can fill us with that kind of love that you want us to give to one another. And so, thank you for the Apostle Paul's letter to this church and just him being such a genuine person to tell them how much he loved them and was concerned for them and couldn't endure it anymore. He had to send Timothy. I love this, Lord. Thank you so much. And please bless the fellowship tonight. Be with my sisters, God, and just help them. I don't know what they've got going on. I know I always have. Seems like something going on, so please be with them, encourage them, and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.